Hello, hello.
Howdy, howdy.
We're back again, Gorghouls. I'm Sam, as usual.
I'm Caitlin, as always.
And I know we're a little late this week, but we're at least doing one this week.
Yes, so we are. We're going to keep going at it.
There you go.
Whether y'all like it or not.
Thank you to everybody who listened to last week's episode.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks to anybody that listens all the time.
Yeah. Mostly last week's episode, though.
Yeah?
No.
Oh.
It just seemed like the right thing to say.
Was the last one we did the Ted Bundy thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was funny because I saw a, I don't know, you probably saw it too, on Instagram this morning where it was that, like, meme where everybody was like, everybody's freaking out over Zac Efron as Ted Bundy, but y'all motherfuckers don't remember Charlize Theron.
Yeah.
As Eileen Wuornos.
Like.
Where it was like, there she is. That's her. Get her.
Yeah.
Like, kill her again. She was, I forgot about that movie.
Yeah. Well, and I think with her, too, like, the fact is, like, Eileen Wuornos is a very, I think, I know she had, like, mental illnesses and stuff, but as far as, like, the reason she did it.
Yeah.
I kind of empathize with her, whereas with Ted Bundy, it's like, ah, fuck you, you know.
Yeah, yeah. No, it, her story's a little tragic.
Yeah.
I get it.
Like, I know that the guys that she killed eventually weren't anything to do with it, but
I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I understand where she was coming from with that.
Yeah.
But she did, like, Charlize Theron did an amazing job.
Special effects, the makeup crew and stuff, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Well, and she gained weight, and she, like, I don't know.
It was creepy. And it's really hard to tell when you put the two pictures next to each other which one's which.
Yeah.
She somehow looks just like her.
Yeah. They did it. She and them, they did an amazing job.
Yeah. I forgot about that movie. I haven't watched it in a really long time. Just because it makes my skin crawl.
Yeah. Like I said, she's more of an empathetic character to me.
To me, yeah.
So I'm like, you know, I get it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Obviously she did kill innocent guys, but at the same time, I understand.
Yeah, but her start wasn't. I mean, she took a lot of shit at the beginning of
her
life.
Well, it's not like Ted Bundy had to deal with that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think that's the difference between, like, women and men serial killers, is whereas, obviously not all of them, but a lot of the women serial killers have, like, a reason.
It seems like they're pushed to that point.
Whereas men, it seems like the Ted Bundys and the Jeffrey Dahmer.
It's always under the surface.
Yeah, it's always kind of something that they just want to do.
Yeah.
As opposed to, not a purpose.
Yeah.
But,
like, no, women seem to have, like, a purpose killing.
Yeah.
Except, like, I don't know what brain cell is wrong with some of these nurses that kill.
I don't know.
That stuff's, like, weird. It's, like,
they have this, like, weird thing where they think that they're helping the person by killing them.
Yeah, but
most half of the time the people are like, necessary.
No, I'm good.
Yeah.
It's like, my finger's sprained. What are you doing?
Yeah, exactly.
It's weird. But, yeah. Okay. And I actually have two questions this week.
Woo-woo.
I know. It's a first.
It really is.
It is. So, I can go first.
Are we going to talk about creepypastas first?
Oh, yeah, we can talk about that first.
I know you're excited about having two questions. Normally we do that at the end, though.
Oh, do we? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure when we do it.
At the end. Or after we finish with our specific purpose.
Well, this week we're going to talk about, like, creepypasta, no sleep, Reddit. Sam's really big on the no sleep Reddit. I've read a bunch of creepypastas. Just kind of any creepy story that comes along our path.
Mm-hmm.
We're super into. Books, anything like that. Oh, have you read any of the Valentine novelization?
I haven't. I will. I just haven't had time.
I keep searching for random ones. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, like I'm finishing a book now, and then I'll read that one.
We traveled down a weird little path. Another podcast that I listened to talked about someone sent him, the guy that leads the podcast, they sent him the novelization of Night of the Living Dead, and the original. And he's not a big fan of it in that sense, but getting the novelization, he was like, this is pretty cool. So, I got curious and went on eBay and found the ultimate novelization of Valentine.
Yeah. The one with David Boreanaz.
What is that, 1997?
I think a little...
2001?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think a little closer to our time period.
Okay, 2001.
Yeah.
I think it was 2001. Oh, yeah, because he was like, Angel was going. This, yeah. That, this was, like, his whole, like... Yeah, so it had to be 01 or 02. Ugh, Jesus.
2001.
Jeez.
Yeah, 2001. No, that's not the right one. Yeah, but, it, yeah, 2001. That's weird. There's two that came out that year that are based on different things.
Oh, is there, like, a romantic, an actual romantic one?
No, there's one where, the one that we know, and then there's one where the guy's in film school and kills people. So, I don't
maybe
know.
Maybe it was a short? About.
Maybe, I don't know. I will look more into that later. But we're gonna do, I personally, like, I've read creepypasta. I feel like the difference between the two are creepypastas are, like, urban myth. Type thing.
It seems to head that
where,
way.
You know what I mean? Where yeah. It's like, oh, my cousin's friend and this and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. You know, like that kind of thing. And then, like, the no sleep stories are, like, creepy stories that people tell about their lives or, you know, things that have happened to them. Or
yeah.
Just, you know, in not factual or not, yeah, not factual stuff. But,
I think the Reddit, the no sleep Reddit, there's a lot better blogger writers on there.
Yeah.
Like, way better.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I feel like Creepypasta, you've got to dig. There's quite a few, like, good stories that I found on Creepypasta that don't have to do with, like, a cryptid or, like, Slenderman or anything like that. But you got to dig.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, the No Sleep Reddit is actually pretty good to kind of scroll through. And be like, that's not good, that's not good. And then you'll find one where you're like, shit. Mm-hmm. But there's, like, a lot more, like, involved ones, I feel.
There's also another Reddit called Super Short Scary Stories, where they have to be under certain character length, I'm guessing. But they're maybe a couple paragraphs, like, long. But those are pretty good, too. But we're going to go through a couple of our... I have two favorite no sleep stories. Like I said, creepypastas. I like reading them, but they're not really, like... They never really catch my attention for too long.
Okay. What was it called? Super short...
Yeah, it's r/ super short scary stories.
Scary stories.
But, yeah. So, one of my... I'm gonna go
for yeah,
my
go ahead.
Second favorite one.
Okay,
I'll save my first favorite one for the last one.
Okay.
So, there's
does
one...
this include, like, your ultimate overall favorite?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, my number two favorite is called, I know what it's called, but it's called Borrasca.
Oh.
It's Borrasca.
Okay.
So, both of mine are very long. They're multiple parts. Like, both of my favorite ones are multiple parts. So, Borrasca is about, it kind of starts off like it's going to be like a ghost story kind of. Ghost town kind of story.
Okay.
And then hits you in the gut with the twist.
Okay.
So when this kid is younger, they move his dad, for whatever reason, has to leave his job as a cop in the major city that they live in and move to the small town so that he can still be a cop.
Okay.
So you're kind of led to believe that something might have gone down.
All right.
But that it was more of a, we're going to transfer you as opposed to you need to leave type thing.
Gotcha. You just can't be here anymore.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they move to this weird town, and it's a really small town, and when they're kids, there's this, like, treehouse thing out in the woods, and they say that if you carve your name into the tree, you won't go missing, because there's a ton of people in town that go missing.
Oh, okay.
A ton of kids, I'm sorry, that go missing. Say between, like, 10 and 20.
Gotcha.
They go missing.
Yeah.
So, this kid has an older sister who wants to go, who's upset about moving, obviously. She misses her friends and her boyfriend. I think she's, like, 16 or something.
Okay,
like
gotcha.
That. So, when one summer, he meets his new friends that he's gonna have when he's living there, and they go to this treehouse, and he sees that his sister's name has already been there. Like, carved into the tree. So, eventually, she goes missing. His big sister.
Yeah.
So, he has these two friends. One's a boy and one's a girl. So, he goes through school. I think it's into high school. This whole time his sister's missing, they assume that she ran back to, they live in Chicago. She moved back to Chicago without telling anybody and blah, blah, blah. So her parents aren't really that, like, worried about it. It's kind of, his parents aren't, yeah. So he gets a job a sub shop, but he gets a job somewhere in town and he starts to notice. So one thing in this town that happens is that there's a mine up in the mountains that's been dead for years.
Yeah.
Because there was something that went wrong, and it leaked into the water supply of the town and all that kind of stuff.
Gotcha.
So, they're closed, but occasionally, you can hear the noise from the mines, but, like, a crunching, like, big, heavy machinery noise.
Like it's working.
Yeah. Gotcha. So, it doesn't happen very often, but occasionally it does.
Huh.
So, throughout his childhood and his teen years, he's always worried about wondering about his sister. As soon as Facebook and MySpace and that kind of stuff becomes popular, he looks up the boyfriend
that
they think she ran away to go be with, and he has no idea where she is. Like, so, but it's, at this point, it's been almost a decade or something like that, something crazy. So that was kind of a last-ditch hope kind of thing. So it turns out, spoiler alert, if you want to go read these stories, pause it, and then come back once you've read it.
Yeah.
So, it turns out, there's a lady that comes in to, I want to say it's a sub shop or an ice cream shop, something like that, where he works at, and the person who owns the shop owns, like, a monopoly on the town, kind of. Like,
okay.
They own a lot of stuff. They're one of the Doug big Dimino. Families. Yeah, like, they owned the mines before everything crashed.
And gotcha. All that kind of stuff.
So, she comes in, the lady comes in, and she's really upset because they've been trying to get pregnant, but they can't get pregnant.
Okay.
So, you're led to kind of believe, obviously, that when the mine collapsed and it leaked into the water supply and it made the women in the town, like, infertile.
Okay.
So.
Man.
Yeah. Look. What a town.
Move there instantly.
So, he sees this weird conversation about her wanting a kid and not being able to have one and what the steps are to take to get a baby, like, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. So, it turns out, he finally decides, so behind the treehouse is, like, the mountain to get to the mine area.
Okay.
So, he's like, screw this, I'm gonna go look. This is, like I said, this is a very, very, very paraphrased version. Like, it's an amazing detailed story. So, he goes up into the mines, and he finds a place where all of these women, or these girls that have gone missing, are tied to beds.
Oh, shit.
And they're being forced to have... So,
yeah.
Any new girl that moves into town who hasn't lived in the town and had the water and stuff, so
gotcha. She's fertile.
So, it's basically like a Handmaid's Tale type thing. But they're all... They all go, quote-unquote, missing. And they end up here, and they end up basically birth horses. You know what I mean? Birth cows or whatever. So, he tries to free his sister, but obviously it's been years, and she can't walk, and it's terrible.
Wow.
So, and then you find out that the reason his dad left was because he was...
Part of it.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, it's creepy. Like, it's one of those things where you're like, it must be something to do with the mines. Obviously, they mention it from the beginning, but you never think that that's what it is.
Yeah.
So, when the machinery goes off... It's getting rid of the body of a woman who has just had too much and her body's given out.
Gotcha.
Or she's of the age where she can't bear any more children.
Gotcha.
But it's creepy.
Yeah.
It's definitely one of those things where you're like, holy shit. Like, it's like, it is. It's like a punch to the gut type, holy fuck.
You know? That's on the...
No Sleep. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and I think... It's called Baraska because that's what the mining machine is called.
Yeah, so I tried to look it up, and there's one subreddit on there that says Baraska movie, but there's no one in the community for it.
Oh, okay.
Wouldn't that be...
Oh, I don't know about a movie. I can't barely watch Handmaid's Tale at the moment, especially with all the shit going on in Alabama and stuff. But I
haven't heard of any of that, so...
They banned abortion, period.
Oh, in Alabama?
Yeah.
Oh, the number one place where cousins fuck.
Yeah.
So that's great.
So, Baraska, if you search Baraska No Sleep, it comes right up.
Okay, great.
But there's like 6 parts from what I can see.
Yeah.
Or you can listen to the No Sleep podcast. Apparently, they read them on there.
So, oh.
That's cool.
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah. So that's a new podcast I'm going to listen to.
Yeah. Did you literally just see that? What
yeah,
the hell?
Yeah, when I search for Baraska.
Why are you listening to us? Go!
Right?
That's super exciting, because that's like my entire day is just listening to podcasts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of, like, I don't know what kind of stories you usually like, but I'm into, like, the multiple part ones.
Yeah.
Usually I'm into the ones that are, like, logs in a way where it's like, hey, I'm going to come back and talk about this thing or whatever.
Yeah.
Kind of like, the hell was that one with the kid that thought his apartment was haunted and it was that little...
Oh, Dear Dave. Dear David? Dear Daniel? Something like that. I think it was Dear David. David. Yeah.
Because you want to say Damn Daniel. Yeah, all the time. Like the killer, was it Bad Clowns from Outer Space or something?
Yeah, creepy clowns. Creepy clowns. It's every time.
I like stuff like that.
Yeah.
Where it's kind of like, so this is what's happened over the last couple weeks. And I know like a lot, some people don't like those. They'd rather have like an original story of some sort.
Yeah.
But for me, I don't know. It just feels more personal.
Well, I like the updates and it makes it seem like a little bit more real.
Yeah. Because to me, it's, it like, does.
Being updated in real time type of thing.
Yeah. Cause it was actually, I caught one on, I read, there was, like, the one that I'm going to talk about had, like, 9 parts or something, and then the next night that I came back, there was the final. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I feel like I'm, like, actually following this. And I like those a little bit more, unless it's a short story.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of, like, I don't really have any in between.
Yeah.
So, the one, I can't remember the one that I had read the other day was called... I'm new on that Reddit thing. I've never played around with Reddit, so I didn't even pay attention or save it or whatever. But, I tried to explain it over text, but it was horrible. So there, it's from the point of view of this, he's probably a little like maybe college or something.
Mm-hmm.
So it's from his point of view and his brother, it's him and his brother and he's got a mom and a dad. And they're in an apartment building, and he kind of goes into, like, him talking about his brother. It starts right off with his brother killing himself. And his brother's, it seemed like, I don't can't remember if they said an age, but it seemed like his brother was, like, an older middle school, maybe younger high school, like freshman.
Okay.
And so it's where it's him just kind of going through where he's like, I don't even know where to, like, begin. There's, like, no, absolutely no reason for my brother to commit suicide. This or that. His parents, say, don't go in the room. Like, everything's done. Funeral's over. All that stuff. He does go into the room, and on the table under some books is a little note. And the note itself is almost like a poem. And it says... I can't take it. The man upstairs, there's so much noise. I can't take it. Like, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh my God, like, maybe my brother had, like, some mental illness or this or that. So he reads that and he's like, the man upstairs. So he finds out who is above their apartment kind of deal. And above their apartment, but over to the side, is actually a guy that his brother had met online that he had talked to through video games. They played like a World of Warcraft kind of thing all the time.
Okay.
And they talked a bunch, and this guy's like a recluse. Like, he doesn't leave the apartment. He's basically agoraphobic, and it's an older man. So his brother's like, well, this is freaking weird. Like, this isn't okay. So he goes upstairs to talk to him, and the guy says, like, I'm so sorry about your brother, this or that. Like, he started to act kind of weird the last couple weeks and this and that. And he says that he had gotten a message from his brother at one point that said, like, I think I fucked up. I fucked up really bad. And the guy was like, you can tell me anything. Like, if you need to talk about it, just tell me about it or whatever. And, so, the guy, he never heard from his brother again, and then, like, a few days later is when they found him.
Okay.
So, the guy's telling the upstairs neighbor is telling the brother, like, listen, I think he had something to do with this, like, little girl that went missing, that was from, like, a younger class than him, but they were in, like, the same drama club.
Okay.
And he's like, you know, he sent me that weird message, like, a day after she, like, was reported missing kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, his brother's like, no fucking way. Not, like, I'm not even gonna entertain that idea. That's absolutely horrible. Like, it's not gonna happen. And so, he's angry at the guy, but whatever. And they talk a little bit more about it. But he ends up going to the little girl's mom's house, to see if he comes up with some excuse, because it just starts to get in his brain about the little poem thing and some of the stuff the guy says. So he goes to the mom's house and he's like, hey, I think my brother was like in your daughter's class. Like, do you have a yearbook or a picture or something like that? And says to her, like, I think my brother was actually involved. And so they kind of, she helps him a little bit with some pictures and stuff. And they were in the same class. And, you know, that stuff was true. And he's like, I'm going to try and help you any way that I can, even though he's passed.
Yeah.
Like, I think you need closure as well, kind of thing. So he goes back to his house and he's describing how he's like, feels like he's at a dead end because he just doesn't know how to connect the dots with his brother. And he goes, he talks about how he, like, went to let the dog out kind of thing. And he runs into this back part of their yard. And so he walks after him and falls through a hard spot in their backyard. And so he uncovers this, like, cellar door thing in the backyard. And he's like, the fuck even? So he flips the door open and, you know, talks about, like, this stench kind of deal. So he jumps down there, uses his phone flashlight, and there's bodies. The little girl's body, everything. And he's like, oh my God. Like, again, thinking that the brother's involved with something like that. And he calls the cops. Cops come. Parents are fine. Parents are home now from work. Cops are there. Cops go through the entire, I guess you'd call it a cellar. And they uncover the brother's diary down there. And, the brother's like, I don't even know what to think about this because it's so crazy that my middle school brother can even do something like this. So they're going through the diary and they're reading the last few entries, and apparently the brother was actually out there just like fucking around one day and saw the dad come up from the cellar.
Oh no.
Yeah. So when the dad leaves, he goes down to the cellar and sees the little girl. But when he comes out of the cellar, the dad's standing there.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And so the brother is describing in his diary how he's like, I don't know what to do. I don't think I'm in danger from my dad because he's my dad, but all of these bodies and all this stuff. But in the diary, apparently, is where he had slipped the little poem thing. Mm-hmm. And it was the little girl that was writing the poem about the man upstairs, which was the dad, who was, like, guarding the set, or hanging out around the set, whatever.
Yeah.
But, yeah, apparently the kid did, like, he killed himself because he didn't know what to do as far as the dad
went.
But the story, I think the story's in, like, 9 parts, and it's really good because they don't really, you know, there's no, like, oh, my dad was really upset with me today. Like, he really just kind of goes through it as he would never talk about his dad if he didn't think it was his dad.
Yeah.
So it's a really good story because you're just kind of reading it in the sense of, like, how could a kid do this?
Yeah.
Like, that kind of thing. And then just, like, total 180. And it's really good. I think it's, the title was something, like, my brother's dead, but there was a note or something like that. Yeah. Like, that was, like, the title. It was, like, my brother's dead, but he left a suicide note, and now I'm not so sure or something like that. It was, like, a long, just kind of, like, diary entry title.
Yeah.
But it was really good. I found it the other day. It was one of the first things I read on there, and I was like, this is really good. Like, yeah. I understand why you like it so much. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you can also sort by, like, controversial, hot, like,
oh,
and then you can go and do it like by 24 hours, week, month, or all time.
Oh,
so you can see like the best ones of all time.
I need to play with it a little bit more. Yeah. I don't really play with it. I just kind of go on there and scroll through.
Yeah.
Huh.
But if you do that, it's up at the top. You can go to like the ones that are the best ones of all time. Okay. And stuff like that.
I'll have to do that. Yeah. It was really fun read. Mm-hmm. It like, it really is. There's a few like that, and I really like them. So yeah.
But my most favorite one ever that is actually a book on Amazon now that you can buy for $6.75 or something like that.
Did you buy it?
Of course. I couldn't finish it because I was giving nightmares.
Oh, my God. You've read it so many times, though.
So my favorite one that I've read at least 10 times is The Spire in the Woods. It's the best one. I don't know what it is on Reddit, whether it's, like, the best one of all time on Reddit, but it is beyond amazing. I want to say that it's in 10 parts. The book itself is, like, if you buy it from the book, it is, I would say, ...200 pages? Uh-huh. Something like that.
Yeah.
So it's beyond amazing. Like, so anyway, so the story is, I'm sorry, I'm looking to see what's of all time. Oh, it's not on the all time one, but I'll let that slide. So anyway, so it's amazing. So anyway, so it's called The Spire in the Woods, and it starts out with the point of view of the story. They never say his name, actually, I don't think.
Uh-huh.
Maybe they do, I don't know. But so it starts out from the point of view of this kid. He's in high school. And the first few pages of the story focus on the suicide of his classmate.
Uh-huh.
So what happens is his classmate can't buy a gun because he's too young or whatever it is. So he makes a homemade gun and then goes to the parking lot of the girl that he likes where she works.
Yeah.
And shoots himself in the parking lot with his handmade gun. But what happens is sets the whole car on fire. So when the police arrive, even though they arrive within, like, 10 minutes of him doing it, and there could possibly be a chance of him being okay.
Yeah.
They leave him burning in the car for 4 hours.
Jesus.
So it kind of starts off like that, and then it's, why did Rob kill himself? So everybody starts to blame the girl that he likes, Rob likes, and she becomes withdrawn and everything like that. So Rob has left a suicide note for the narrator's best friend and the girl that he likes.
Okay.
So he dropped them off before. So what happened was he dropped them off before he did it. So when the best friend's name is Fletcher, when he gets home from school or work or whatever it is, his dad gives him the note that Rob left. And when he finishes reading it, he screams, runs out, and runs to where Rob is, but he's too late.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like a goodbye, but I'm doing this prematurely kind of thing.
Yeah.
So the girl, I wish I remembered her name. I think it's like Alana or something like that. But the girl comes to the narrator because the narrator likes ghost stories.
Okay.
There's two main ghost stories in their town. They live in New England. And it's some kind of, he never says what town they live in. But it's two, there's two main ones in this town. One where there's a lady who haunts the attic of a school.
Okay.
And the Blood family, where a man found out that his wife was cheating with another guy and then realized that all their children look like the guy and not him, so he kills the wife.
Gotcha.
The wife, the cheating wife, and all their kids.
Okay. So,
but he says, when you go to the cemetery and see the Blood family, none of them died on the same day. So he's very skeptical.
Yeah.
So him and his friend Carrie, who he calls Scary Carrie, go on these kind of ghost hunts to try and see if things are real and all that kind of stuff. Just in, you know, within like an hour drive.
Yeah.
So in the bottom of the note, let me get the poem up because it's worth it.
This has got to be like an episode on TV somewhere or like a movie or something. Yeah.
So here we go.
It just seems like it should.
So, anyway, so the girl that that Rob likes, also the narrator likes. So she comes to him with a note, and at the end of the note, it says, her name is Alina. So at the end of Alina's note, it says, and every hour I see her face as she runs the endless race.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the note from Rob. So he ended it like that. So she kind of has, like, that niggling in her brain where it's like, I kind of know this. What is it from? So
yeah.
She asks the narrator if he knows where it's from. So he knows it's from some kind of haunted ghost story, but can't figure it out. So he goes to Carrie and asks her, and she says, oh, it's the spire in the woods. It's a clockmaker. So what the story is, like, the story within the story, is that there was this clockmaker, and he was, like, one of the best, like, made all the automatons, all that kind of stuff, made these amazing, beautiful clocks. So a town in New England commissioned him to make this, like, clock tower.
Yeah.
With, like, life-size automatons that would come out on the hour.
Yeah.
Reenacting the Civil War. So back in the 1800s.
Yeah.
So he finds out that his wife has been cheating, so he makes his wife and her lover automatons.
Yeah.
Like, he, while they're still alive, yeah, puts all, like, the springs in their legs and all that kind of stuff. Cool. Yeah. So it's in a place in New England where they needed a reservoir. So okay, what they did was everybody in this town packed up their stuff, government or whatever bought them out, and uh-huh, then they flooded it. So the town is under a lake.
Yeah.
But the spire in the wood, like, the spire, only the very, very, very top of the, you know, like a steeple type,
yeah,
thing, that sticks out of the water.
Okay.
So they figure out that this is where that poem is from, and they're wondering why Rob would put that in a note to Alina. So it comes out that in Fletch's note, he says that he's seen her face, the woman in the clock, and that he's going to go be with her because Alina won't be with him and blah, blah, blah. All that friend zone bullshit. So eventually Rob kills himself because it gets to the point where he can't stop seeing
the face.
Yeah, and he can't stop hearing the bells of the clock.
Okay.
So they decide, okay, so Fletcher, Carrie, and the narrator go to, it's out on, like, so it's out on this lake. So they go to this national park that the lake is at, and they decide that it's in the middle of winter, say January, February time.
Yeah.
So the lake is frozen over. So they think to themselves, okay, great. If Rob could get out there with a boat, we can walk across the ice. There's little islands throughout the lake, and the spire is in one of them. So they decide that they're going to go. Unfortunately, the ice breaks and Carrie falls through, so they have to take her to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And she, unfortunately, like, has, like, hypothermia, and they have to do the thing where they dialysis warm water, gotcha, to, yeah, heat her up from the inside, because she's, yeah, you know. So anyway, so that happens, and then so Alina and the narrator start to get closer, and they're trying to figure out why Rob was talking about this story, and Fletcher doesn't want to go back to the lake. He never wants anybody to go back to the lake, basically. So, but while they were at the lake, before Carrie fell through the ice, it hit whatever time, like the hour.
Yeah.
And they heard the bells from the clock.
Yeah.
And they were amazing. It was like this euphoric, heaven-like feeling, gotcha, kind of goes over them.
Yeah.
Like the bells take over them.
Yeah.
So they all want, like, he wants to hear them again. So when they're driving, Fletcher's driving.
Yeah.
And he hears they both hear the bells because it hits like 8 o'clock.
Okay.
But they're not anywhere near it. They're in their town.
Gotcha.
So the bells are kind of haunting them, if that makes sense.
Yes.
So the narrator decides, I'm going to go back. I have to hear these bells again. I have to hear them in person. I'm starting to, when they go off in his head at the hour, he's starting to kind of lose it a little bit.
Yeah.
Where he doesn't have the full grasp on how amazing these were.
Yeah.
So he decides to go back, and he gets back, and he goes, he breaks a window at the top of the spire. He finds it and goes in. And then he falls through the floorboards and stuff like that and hurts himself really, really badly. And in the course of that, him and Alina are becoming closer, and he kind of forces himself on her.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a she didn't give consent, but she did not give consent type thing.
Gotcha.
So he thinks they're dating. They're not. Like, spoiler alert, they're not. So he thinks they're dating. Men. Had sex. But it was kind of it was rape.
Yeah.
So, anyways, because he's going crazy because of these bells.
Yeah.
So he goes to the spire finally, and he finds his bag that he dropped in the ice, so he's got, like, a lighter and all that kind of stuff. So he goes inside, he falls through the floorboards, and it's, like, a huge, massive clock.
Yeah.
It goes underground, but the ground's frozen, so it doesn't really matter. Like, you know what I mean? He's not, yeah, driving into water. So eventually he gets to the point where he falls on this big block of ice, so it's obviously where the lake line,
yeah,
kind of meets.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but then when the bells go off at the hour mark, the whole clock comes to life like when it was first made.
Gotcha.
The automaton maker guy is there. The clockmaker guy is there. His wife, he can see the automatons with the wife and the lover.
Oh, damn.
And he walks outside, and there's a few, like, outside to watch the automatons go around. And he sees Rob with his face blown off.
Mm-hmm.
And he sees all these other people with, like, mortal wounds.
Yeah.
Like, one guy's burnt, one guy, you know, like, okay. That kind of stuff. And they're all just watching the clock. And Rob tells him, this is all we can do now. Like, this is where we are now. Like, you need to get out of here. So he tries to get out. And when he's trying to get out, the bells stop ringing. Because even though it's on the hour and it's ringing, like, once, twice, three times, whatever, it's lasting, like, 20 minutes or an hour for yeah. him. Like, it's time is different. So he goes back in, and he's above. He knows he needs to be above the ice before it comes, because otherwise yeah. he's fucked. So he sees, he puts his hand out to find something, and puts his hand through the skull of the lady.
Yeah.
And he freaks out. So he's trying to pull himself up. He's got broken ribs and all that kind of stuff. So he's trying to pull himself back up to get through the window to leave, and the automaton starts moving.
Yeah.
And coming after him. So, and she has, like, a hammer to try and put the splints and stuff through his legs, like she has.
Yeah.
So he's, you know, obviously freaking out. He eventually gets out and he goes back, but he keeps hearing the bells. Carrie's in the hospital. Like, Fletcher doesn't want to talk about it. So
yeah.
So he goes to Alina's house to talk to her about it, and she's back with her ex-boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
So he smashes the window on the ex-boyfriend's cars while the bells are, you know, because he's not really there anymore.
Yeah.
He smashes the guy's window and then breaks the guy's jaw when he comes out to scream at him for breaking his car. And Alina is obviously freaking out because there's this crazy guy, like what Rob did when, you know, Rob was like that before he killed himself. So now she's worried that if she doesn't do this with this guy, then he's going to kill himself. So anyway, so it turns out that he can't stop hearing the bells. And every time he hears the bells, the automaton, the wife, keeps getting closer.
Gotcha.
So, his whole life. So, he's writing this from, basically, the future.
Yeah.
Like, him when he's 40 or 50. And he says, like, I know that she's coming for me. I know that this last time will be the last time. But that's a very, very simple paraphrasing of it. It is worth the time to read it. Whether you buy the book or you read it on the No Sleep Reddit. Like, I cannot stress. I think that it's, out of all of the stories I've ever read, whether it be, you know, Harry Potter or anything on No Sleep or literally any type of narrative story
I've
ever read.
You always talk about this.
This is one of my most favorites ever. Like, the amount of detail, the amount of scary stuff, I can't stress enough how amazing it is.
Wow.
Like, it's the best fucking thing I've ever read.
Yeah, you talk about it a lot. It is always, like, your number one when we do, like, spooky story stuff.
Well, like, it gives you that, like, holy shit. You know what I mean?
Well, like, and everything, even just, like, in your short, like, cliff notes that you just did, you can see this in, like, a movie form.
Oh, my God. I would freak if they could make yeah, this yes. into a movie. Like, I have it in my head, obviously, the way I want it, but I can't even imagine how amazing it would be.
But, I mean, they really do. It's like, it would be a great movie with no one interrupting the actual flow of it. Just like a tragic, like, Romeo and Juliet kind of thing.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I definitely highly,
I haven't read it yet. I need to read it.
It's amazing. Well, I can give you the book while you're
here. Oh, yeah, that's right.
And then it's easier to read, at least.
Yeah.
It is. It's only, like, 200 pages book. I think it's 10 parts on Reddit. But it's 100%. I think I read it for the first time 8 years ago.
Something
like
that. It was a long time
ago. And I've read it at least twice a year, if not three or four times, every year since I found it. Because it's just...
Well, and if it's a book on Amazon, it might be getting closer to...
Well, and support the... Like, you know, we need to support young... Or, I'm sorry, not young, but small businesses. Like, you know, he's obviously... Everybody... on the comments, I'm sure, has told him how many times this needs to be a book and everything like that. Like, support it. It's only $6. It's not going to kill you. I'm sure it's even cheaper to get the Kindle version, but I wanted, like, the hard copy.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's 100% worth the money. Like, I can't even stress how, even talking about the premise and stuff of it, like, gives me this, like, weird feeling of, like, how much I love it, how amazing it is, and how I can't stress
it. You don't even have to hear the bells. Just reading the story makes you, like...
Exactly.
Which, like, is really cool.
Yeah. One, it's weird because how horrific it is to go to see these bells isn't as bad. Like, I still want to go. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, but it's very good. You should definitely check it out.
Yeah, I can see that as, like, some... Hopefully not, like, some James Wan... universe kind of shit, but, no, like, some Blumhouse, like, indie, yeah. A24.
Mm-hmm.
A24 would do a really good job with something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I need it to be, like, practical effects and that kind of stuff. Not a CGI clock tower, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it needs to be, like, what I want
yeah,
it to
I
be.
Yeah, I think an A24, like, Hereditary
yeah.
kind of
I always think
would
of
really one cool.
Whenever I read it, I always think the automaton wife, the clockmaker's wife, reminds me in my head of the girls in Insidious.
Okay.
With the white dresses on
yes.
when he's in
gotcha.
The further.
Yes.
Like, that's what they... In my mind, that's what she looks like. Where she... Because she's a real person.
She's a real person, but is she fake?
But she's like, you know...
Yes.
She has the springs and the splints and stuff in her arms and her legs.
I bet that'll be a movie one day.
I freaking hope so. 100%. If they can remake other bullshit, like, they can definitely.
Well, they bring
that.
These stories out and stuff. Like The Ritual that was on Netflix. That was a book.
The Ritual?
Yeah.
I don't know if I saw that one.
Ugh. I loved it. It's like these four or five guys. It might be five. No, I think it's four because their buddy died. They go on a hike in, like, remembrance
oh,
of the buddy.
Yeah, okay. I know what you're talking
There's
about.
There's that creature thing.
I only watched about half of it.
Really?
Yeah.
I friggin' loved it. It was so good. But it was a book before, too. Like, I think some of these are...
Yeah.
It's starting to get that way. But if it's a book on Amazon, it might get a little bit more push towards it.
Yeah.
Because we're all pulling for you to get your movie.
I so want it. I want to be the clockmaker's wife.
So, my last one that I have... I haven't read it in a really long time. But it's... Let me see. It is a creepypasta. It's a creepypasta. It was actually the Channel Zero for season 3. They called it Butcher's Block. But it's about this ranger. It's a ranger in the woods.
Okay, I know.
Yeah, it's a ranger in the woods. The creepypasta itself. Butcher's Block, I never finished it, and I haven't seen the fourth season, just because, like, I literally want to watch all these things but never have time. Like, I know it was, like, everybody freaked out over it. I know when I started watching it is way different than, like, the creepypasta.
Yeah.
I liked the creepypasta because it's the log form.
Mm-hmm.
So it's literally a ranger that works at these, like, in these woods or whatever, and he's a ranger, but also search and rescue.
Mm-hmm.
So he logs, a bunch of the stuff that he either sees or he's supposed to go after, what people see and he goes after, just things like that. So it's a lot of parts. But he talks about these weird things that he sees. The one thing that I remember the most was someone reporting, like, this guy acting strange. That was kind of, like, it. So he drives to, like, where the location is, and he's like, I don't really see anything. I'm just kind of wandering around, this or that. And he sees on, like, a neighboring cliff a man, like, walking just up the side of this cliff. And he's like, it's a steep-ass cliff, and this guy's just walking. But then he starts doing, like, what I envisioned and what seemed to be explained, almost like a slinky going downstairs,
mm-hmm.
where he starts doing this, like, front-back, front-back, front-back thing up the side of the mountain.
Hmm.
Just creepy stuff. Like, the whole, like, creepypasta is about these creepy things that he sees in the woods. And he... You know, he goes over, like, he sees, like, the goat man and this and that. But, like, there's tons and tons and tons of, not so much reports, but, like, other rangers saying, if you come across these stairs in the middle of the woods, mm-hmm. do not go up them.
Yeah.
Just, like, totally ignore them kind of thing. And he's kind of interested in the sense, like, all of them are, like, you know, you can laugh all you want, but it is true. And he's like, I've never seen these fucking stairs. Like, I've always been around here.
Yeah.
And then he finally sees them on, like, a search and like, an actual search and rescue thing. And everybody around him is like, yeah, don't fucking look at them.
Yeah.
And so he's losing his mind because it's just like, there's these fucking stairs in the middle of the woods. Whatever. And I can barely even remember what happens when they go up the, if he goes up the stairs and I think he just disappears or something like that.
Yeah, I don't remember. I just remember that the stairs are, like, all different. Like, a spiral staircase.
Yes.
And a carpeted staircase.
Yes.
Like, somebody's transplanted them from a house to the woods.
Yes, and it is, and it's, and everybody sees something different. Some of them are rickety, some of them are very, like, surgical stairs. Like you said, the Victorian kind of stairs, mm-hmm. like that kind of thing. It is a really interesting read because it's just these fucking stairs, mm-hmm. but then there's also all this other stuff that he sees. So I really like that creepypasta just because it is like a bunch of different stuff. And the stairs are super fucking creepy. And I think it makes it creepier because everybody acknowledges them.
Yeah, but nobody.
But everybody's like, just ignore them. Yeah. And that's like fucking creepy. Like that is the kind of stuff that gets under my skin.
Yeah.
So I really like that story. I think it's called The 13th Floor. Something like that. So, yeah, that's mine. I need to read that again. I want to read yours. Yeah, I actually want to read both of yours. Because really they good. Sound good.
Mm-hmm. They're, like, amazing.
Yeah.
But now is the portion of the episode we get to the questions.
I have questions. I actually thought it, too.
But definitely check those stories out.
Like yeah.
Support the community.
And if there's anything creepy that you've, like, I cannot wait to download that, podcast. Like, I'm super excited now. Like, I'm so excited. If there's any, like, creepypastas or creepy stories, or even if you've written something, like, send it to us.
Because
we would absolutely love to read it. We love reading, like, little short stories and stuff like that, because there's actually a lot better ideas out there in word form than there are going on in the movies right now. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah. That's why I say it'd be really interesting to see something like that, because you've never seen anything like that.
No. Well, I would love it. Like, I can't even tell you how much I would love it. I would be in the theater every day.
Midnight viewing.
Yeah.
All right, so my first question is, what horror movie would you want to see as a musical on Broadway?
Hmm.
I was thinking about us, when we were in Salem last time, we got to see a high school production of Goosebumps.
Yep, the Phantom of the Auditorium.
Probably the best thing that's ever been put into play.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. Well, and they had, we didn't get to see it, but they had the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yes, the year before.
Musical. Yeah. yeah.
And there's quite a few out there, mm-hmm. like, different, like...
Yeah, Evil Dead, too.
There was an Evil Dead one.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, you busting down the door, like, take my money kind of...
Scream.
Yes?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that would be really good.
I think because it's, like, the campy kind of,
yeah.
you know, high school one already, I think Scream would be a really good musical.
That would be really good.
And I think it would be pretty easy to come up with songs for it, too.
Yeah, like, at different points during the...
Yeah.
The storyline and mm-hmm. stuff.
I think Scream would be a really fun musical.
That would be really good. We had so much fun during Goosebumps.
Yeah.
I cannot even tell you.
It was like the Boston Children's Theater put it on when we were in Lynn, Massachusetts while we were there.
So fun.
And it was amazing. It was like, so, so good.
The kids were so good.
Yeah.
They were so into it. They had like, oh my god, some of the most like infectious songs ever.
Yeah. That still get stuck in our head 2 years later.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got my one that I would definitely absolutely love to see, and it would be Dead Alive.
Ugh.
I just think it would be the campiest, funniest thing
Maybe.
Ever. Oh, we saw, was it a musical? Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah, the Thanksgiving, the musical.
It was the
we
musical.
Saw that.
Yeah, I forgot
that. Was really
about
good, too. That was in Orlando for Fringe Week.
Yeah, that was at Orlando Fringe. They're on everything, and they have all kinds of stuff, all kinds of productions and stuff if you're in Orlando. I forgot about that.
That was really good.
They've had a few horror movie ones. They did Shit, which was
an It parody.
It parody, and they did an Exorcist one.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're adults and we have no time and we suck. So we didn't get to go see those. But we did see Thanksgiving, which was amazing.
It was very, very good.
It was so good. And it was, like, at 10:30 at night, so we didn't think we were going to make it.
Yeah.
Like, physically. We're old, so... Oh, my God. I totally forgot about that. I don't know why. Yeah. Yeah, so since Thanksgiving actually was a musical, I would have to go with Dead Alive. Because I love that movie more than anything. I like, and I would love to see something like Done with the Thing, but I think it'd be really sad.
Yeah.
But I think Scream is like a perfect campy Scream, or like I Know What You Did Last Summer. Just like,
yeah,
that stuff would be so fun. Like so, so fun. Okay.
So Mike, one of my questions is, would you rather be the Voodoo Queen or the Supreme?
You know, I was just thinking about watching episode 3 again.
Oh, I love it.
Just because, yeah. Man, that's a really good question. And I have to, like, remove myself for my, like, weird lady crush that I have on both of those ladies.
Yeah.
I think I would have to be a Supreme.
Yeah.
I'm a little, like, and I know that I would have, like, this kind of, like, power stuff with the voodoo, but I like the gloss of being a Supreme.
Well, and I think that
voodoo's dirty to me.
Well, like, I feel like with the voodoo, like, you have to, whereas, like, Fiona, the Supreme, snaps her fingers and something happens.
Yeah.
The voodoo, like, Marie LaBeouf.
There's a process.
Has to, yeah. She has to do these things to get it to happen.
Yes.
Like, I don't remember, but she does, in order to do something, she needs a voodoo doll, or she needs this, or she needs a spell, or blood, or, you know what I mean? Any kind of thing like that. So, I think that being the Supreme would be better, just because it would be like I said, you'd snap your fingers, or you'd use, like, your mind control to control someone, or, like, all of the different, like, the seven wonders that they can do, like,
yeah,
is pretty much, like, boom, done.
Yeah, and I guess that would just, like, that would kind of depend on your, like, loner status, or are you good with a coven?
Yeah.
Because, well, like, that's the only thing with her, with Marie, is
one, she's hundreds of years old also.
Yeah.
So, but with a Supreme, you're just a human. Like,
yeah.
You can't continue your life
longer. Yeah.
But is it worth just being here for that long to be that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I would be the Supreme.
Yeah, I think I like the kitschiness of the Supreme
life.
But on certain days, like, I just would rather be the Angela Bassett.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to look like her.
I'd like to look like either of them, honestly.
Yeah.
Like,
if we can age like that, that's great.
Oh, my God. Especially Angela Bassett.
Yeah. She's almost 70. Like, doesn't look any over 30.
No, she's gorgeous.
Like, it's crazy.
Damn it. All right. I have my other... Huh, those ladies. Okay. My next question is, who is your most annoying horror movie character, person in a horror movie that is always... is just, like, gets under your skin? It doesn't have to be, like, a Freddy or a Michael or anything, but just, like, that one movie that you've watched where you're like, I hate that person. For no, like, because, like, a lot of people hate the kid from Babadook.
Oh, God.
Because he is a pain in the fucking ass. Like, yeah. A lot of people hate him. So that's kind of, like, where my train of thought is just, like, there's that person, even if it's just the actor themselves, where you're just like, I cannot stand this at all.
I'm sure that there is somebody that annoys me more, but what comes to mind right now, without having to think about it for too long, is the mom from The Haunting of Hill House.
Really?
Yes. Only because of everything that happens, like, I understand that it was mental health and all that kind of stuff, but the trickle-down effect of how fucked her family became because of it.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she always kind of struck me as, like, selfish when we were watching it.
Okay.
Like, I couldn't get past the fact that, not, you know, like I said, obviously, I'm not a mom, so I can't really, you know, I don't know, like, in that headspace what you would do, but you know what I mean? Like, things like just getting mad at them for stupid stuff and, you know, that kind of stuff. And I was really annoyed that instead of, it was almost like a Frozen Elsa type thing, where instead of teaching Theo how to, like, deal with her power of being able to sense stuff and see the future,
it's like, here's
stuff,
some gloves.
Yeah. That pissed me off because it was, like, suppressing her gift, which it is a gift. It is a curse at some points, but it's a gift also.
It really is a gift.
You know, like, that.
Gotcha.
But she annoys me. I thought she was too selfish, and, like, I just didn't get it.
Gotcha. My person is the, I think her name's Judy or something. It's the mom in Hellraiser. I can't stand that woman. I don't like the way she looks.
Yeah.
Like, she is so, like, I just can't stand her.
Yeah.
Like, I hate her as an actress. I can't stand her. Like, I don't understand. It just doesn't make, like, she's supposed to be luring these guys back for, Frank to, like, feed upon. So he, like, gains, like, everything back kind of deal. And she's, like, brutish. Like, I don't understand, like, why any guy would follow her home.
Yeah.
Like, period kind of thing. So it's just one of those things where I'm, like, I don't get it. And then she's, like, such a skank to, like, her husband for this, like, Frank character. Like, whatever. Like, maybe you should hate her like that or whatever. But I just, she has always bugged me. Always bugged me. It's one of the reasons I don't watch that movie as much as I'd like to. Because she just, like, I can't stand watching her.
Yeah.
Drives me nuts.
But the kid from Babadook is a close second.
He, yeah, you can understand why she is. I can't wait
for him to, like, get killed by Babadook.
I know. You can understand why she's going through the shit she's going through.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, holy shit. But, yeah.
Okay, so my last question is, what two haunted places would you pick to spend the night?
This is me being brave?
Yeah, with no consequences. You might see ghosts, but you won't die.
Oh, okay. I would love, we've talked about it. I would love to stay at the Lizzie Borden house. Mm-hmm. That's probably for comfort where I would also love if I was brave enough to go to Waverly Hills.
Yeah.
And stay. But I have to be brave enough.
Yeah.
And I'm not.
No. Definitely not.
Like, at all.
Well, and that seemed to be the place where Ryan and Shane from BuzzFeed Unsolved had the most, like, stuff happen.
But it's, like, everyone.
Yeah.
Like, everyone. Ghost hunters, like, I don't know what Zach douchebag and them, like, most of their shit's fake, but even them, like, it was just, like, that place is just weird.
Yeah.
Like, it's just creepy and strange, mm-hmm. but I'm not brave enough. I might be brave enough to do Lizzie Borden.
Yeah.
But that house is really pretty.
Yeah. It would be a comfortable night's fun stay anyway.
No sleep.
Yeah.
And sitting up all night. Because I'm getting kind of weird just thinking about having to stay there right now. And we're not.
Yeah. Mine would be Lizzie Borden and the Delphine LaLaurie's mansion in New Orleans.
Yes. Just
because I figure that the amount of horrific shit that went down there... Like, there's got to be some type of ghost.
That would be really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently, the last person who bought it was Nicolas Cage.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know that. He's trying to sell it now, but... Or just sold it, something like that. But I got it. That place has to be haunted.
Who is the person that can buy a house from a celebrity?
Because he bought it for $3 million and then put it back on the market for, like, $1.2 million. So it's attainable for, like, a very rich person. Is you know it? What I mean?
Yeah, like, I guess so.
For, like, a moderately upper-class person. Like,
can we fake our way into getting, like, a... Like, oh, yes, we're interested. Like...
I don't know. I think
would they just not. Look at us and be like, 1.2?
I was gonna
and
say...
And you're like, yeah.
I'm sure at that point, like, you have to... if you want to see like it, you have to submit, check. Like, a background check and financials and stuff like that. But...
I don't know. We clean up well.
Yeah. But my financials don't.
We're seriously serious about we would seriously buy this house if we seriously had money.
Right.
Like, I'm we are...
hoping to win the lottery any minute, so...
Yeah, we're like, we are 1,000% invested in this house.
Yeah.
Not money-wise, but we are.
Yeah.
Personally.
So let us see it. But let us know what your two haunted favorites would be. All the answers, answer all the questions.
Yeah, answer all the questions.
Go read the No Sleep stories and let us know your favorites.
Yes, I'm super excited about that. I'm going to download that podcast.
Yeah, so me exciting. Too.
Yeah.
If you can just listen to it instead of having to read it, that's amazing.
Yeah. Because that has to be like their number one rated ones, basically. Like the higher ups.
Yeah, like the ones that are more controversial or whatever.
Yeah.
But let us know what you think and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.